And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In Acts chapter, chapter 9, we'll start at verse 1, and then we're going to go to Acts 26. And we're going to deal with Saul of Tarsus and then the Apostle Paul. So in Acts 9:1, it says, "But Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and asking letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew nigh unto Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven. And he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is what I want to bring emphasis to. Who art thou, Lord?
Hallelujah.
Who is he? Okay. And the Lord said, and he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So, in the encounter Saul has, his heart questions, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, if every believer that's had an encounter with Christ would do that, they would start there questioning, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you? How are you? Where are you?" That start for Paul defines his whole ministry. Everything he does starts from an encounter with the Lord. It doesn't start from a teaching out of a book. You know, he was well taught. He was, you know, probably the most well-taught person in the earth. You know, he was taught in the Jewish religion. So he had all the, you could say, academics or scholarly teachings about God. He could probably define God in and out according to the scripture. But he did not know him. And that's so different. Because we that are his are called into knowing that which he is. That's what we're called to. We're not called to know about him. We're not called to even learn every doctrine necessarily correctly. I believe he will define all things correctly because he's the definition of all things. One of the things the Lord has just tremendously dealt with my heart is out of John 1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God." That word from the beginning defines everything. So if I want to know the understanding of anything, the Word who is Christ is the definition. And if I don't know it from Him, I don't know it. That's the truth. I don't possess some special ability or knowledge to know the things of God, but by His Spirit. That's how I come to know the things of God. I have to know what He reveals in the person of Jesus Christ, because He's not revealing anywhere else. He's not moving in types and symbols and shadows. All those things He did. All those things as a testimony of the Lord Jesus, but now He's revealing His Son, His Word, in our hearts. For what purpose? Why is He revealing His Word in our hearts? that we're not this man. That's not who we are. But we live in Him. A new creation. Now, the definition of the new creation is defined by one. It's not defined by me or you. We don't define it, but we're partakers of it because we're partakers of Him.
Amen.
That's what makes us partakers of it. Nothing special about you or me, but the fact that we have eight of Him. We are a partaker of the heavenly. And I made this little diagram of man. And man is the mind of man, and that's supposed to be brown dirt right here. So his mind is dirt, and I put parentheses of why dirty. Soil, flesh, or fleshly. That's who he is. He's nothing more than that. We try, Christian leaders go back and try to find something more in him than what's there. Okay. When you go back in the beginning, and people will go back to the beginning and say, well, God created man in his image and his likeness. A lot of people will believe that means he was just like God. Now, I don't believe that. I believe he was a representative figure. I think Brother Jimmy was declaring it last night. He was a representation, a type, a shadow of what God was. But he was never the express image of God. He was made to bear the express image of God. That's what he was made for. That's what the earth is made for, to bear the express image of God. But the express image of God doesn't come until Jesus comes. That's God's expression. So you can go in the Old Testament and you can study out all the attributes of God, the personality of God, who God is. Okay? You can read there and you can define who he is by the words, by Elohim, by El Shaddai, by Yahweh or Jehovah. You can go through and you can see who he, you know, the attributes of it, but you never get to personality till the person comes. Because the personality of God is found in a person. I don't know who God is until I know Jesus. I don't have a clue. And in knowing Jesus, I come to know who he is. And that's because he's defined in my heart.
Hallelujah.
By his spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's how he's defined.
Hallelujah.
No other way. And then my heart comes to know that's defined by him.
Amen.
That's all my heart can know. I can't know anything else. I can't get it of myself. It's the definition of Christ made known by the Spirit of God. That's our salvation. And when you start defining Christ, you go back to the beginning. In the beginning was the thought, the mind, the purpose, and will of God. So the depths of the riches of Christ, I compare it sometimes to the natural earth. Just to throw it out here, I'm going to use this as an example. As a type, as a shadow, an example of him. You can live in the earth for thousands of years and never know all the earth. You know that? You could live in Arkansas and maybe explore Arkansas a lifetime or lifetimes and never know all of Arkansas. You know why? Because it's speaking of the magnitude or the greatness of God.
Hallelujah.
That even the earth or the galaxy or the sea is speaking to you of him. Why is it speaking to you of him? Because it was created by him. That's why it has a voice, you could say, to speak of him. Now you can walk in the earth as a natural man and never see that or have any idea of that. You know, you just walk and try to understand the earth. And say, I'm going to understand all the things of the earth. But I want to talk about this light. If I don't move into the next scripture, I won't get there. But in Acts 26, same encounter. Let you turn there. Verse 12. In this pursuit, I was on my way to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to talk about that. Brighter than the sun. Shining around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And who are you, Lord? I ask. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen from me and what I will show you. Now hear this. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen. Not what you learned in Bible school. So Paul, not all you learned from the traditions of your father, Paul, concerning me. But what you have seen. And what he saw was out of the light shining from heaven. This light. That's up above. Brighter than the earth. Brighter than everything that shines in the earth. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon declares the things of the earth. He says that everything in the earth just continues. That he says it this way, there is no new thing under the sun. What has shall be. See, that's man that he's talking about. And he goes down in there and he says, he gave his heart to collect the wisdom of man. And he comes to a conclusion that it's all vanity. It's empty. It's void of life. So that's what I believe he was writing. It didn't have substance. So I could learn all of man. I could learn all of the Old Testament. And understand the temple and the tabernacle. And don't get me wrong, I believe you should learn it. But it should all come to the seeing of Him. Because if it doesn't come to substance, you haven't seen its purpose. Everything is towards substance. Substance is Him. That's the substance of God. That's it. There is no other substance. So when we're born again, we are filled with new. Yeah. Now the issue isn't whether or not we're filled with Him. The issue is, do we know Him? That becomes the issue. If I'm born again, my issue isn't, is Christ in me? My issue is, do I know Him? Have I asked Him, who are you, Lord? Have I turned my mind, my heart, my soul to Him? That's the issue. Because when we turn our hearts, He appears. I believe the order. I mean, I may have come to a greater understanding of it, but I believe there's an order in that, that if you turn to see Him, He will appear. He will meet you. He's already in you. And the issue is knowing Him. Well, I can't attain to it. I think Brother Jimmy just did a great job of showing that you can't attain it. You don't have the ability to know it in yourself. But God has given us of what? His Spirit, that we might know all things. Okay? And people run around and teach all things. But all things are connected to a person. See, if I'm knowing all things, I'm knowing the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
Because all things are in Him. That's what I know. I'm not just knowing all things. I'm knowing all things that pertain to Him. That's the knowing of the Lord. That's what we come to. That's what spiritual understanding is. Is the understanding of God Himself. The understanding of Christ Himself being known to your heart.
Hallelujah.
You know that? His understanding is being made known to your heart.
Amen.
It's not, if we can hear it, it's not even our own understanding. It's His understanding being made known to us.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And we dwelling in that understanding.
Amen.
And that's what our hearts are after, that I may be found in Him.
Hallelujah.
Our souls, our minds, here. All things of Christ, not of ourselves. Because these things that's of ourselves, they're dirt. I don't know how to get more attention to it. Dirt and dirty. The carnal mind. You know, you can do a lot of things with the word dirty, can't you? You can deal with going outside, playing in the mud, and coming in, and your child. And your mom or dad will tell you, you're what? Dirty. Filthy. Okay?
Huh.
You go to another degree with that same word. And it can be the repulsiveness of the nature of this man who is dirty and filthy. Repulsive nature. And we strive in Christianity to get free from that. Because we know in our hearts that's not God's nature. Everyone that has received the Lord knows God's nature is not repulsive. Don't we? Sure we do. So the freedom from that is here. In the redemption of Christ to purpose. If we don't see redemption to purpose, we don't understand redemption. We're redeemed from sin. And I grew up in the old Pentecostal way. I was going to stop myself saying it, but I grew up in the old Pentecostal teaching. And it was all about getting out of sin, out of this man. We knew this man wasn't pleasing to God. Everybody knew that. So we tried to dress up a man and present him to God. I may be the only one that did that. I'm kidding. I know you did. You dressed up a man and said, this is the man. And the answer was, you know, there all along, that's not my son. That's not the one.
Amen.
Just like Abraham and Ishmael. That comes out of God is that of God. That's it. And we either know that comes out of God or we don't. And salvation is knowing Him. That's what salvation is. That I might know Him. And how I know Him is by His Spirit living in me, defining Him in my heart. Him that is already in my heart. But He that's in my heart has to be defined. The fact that He's in my heart doesn't mean I have a full comprehension of who he is. That's the start. He's in your heart. And I agree, he's fully in your heart. He's come into your heart, and he is fullness. So if he's in your heart, fullness has come. But do I know him? And I just see this, and he's turned to see the light. And he, and his whole walk was what Christ would show him. And I want to get in this word and then go to another scripture. This word, you have seen from me, means to see, to know, be aware. Seeing that becomes knowing. It's not just I see something. It's a seeing that becomes a knowing. That's the seeing that we're talking about with the Apostle Paul. A seeing that he became aware of. He come to know in a measure. And the measure is him.
Amen.
So he, in his walk in the earth, Paul's walk in the earth, he was forever presenting him who was measured in his heart by the Spirit of God. See, Christians want to be taught maybe the easy way. Give me a few things to know. And there's not really a few things to know. There's only one to know. But when you define the one, he's full of many or much. He's full of what he is. So when I begin to know what's heavenly or spiritual, I'm knowing that of Christ. Heavenly and spiritual are not separated from him. He is the heavenly one. Amen. He is what spirituality is.
Amen. Amen.
So if we say we're spiritual, we're knowing him. We're living in him. That's the only way you can be spiritual. Is him living in you, you living in him.
Amen.
There's no other way. It's impossible. So when you look at this, to see, that becomes knowing. This is such in my heart. I'm going to repeat myself and I apologize. But it's so in my heart that God's people would see the salvation they have in Christ. That they would know, come to a knowing of it. What do I mean? That I would know the redemption of God in Christ. What does that mean? He's redeemed me. He's redeemed me from here, this man. How did he do that? He became that man and put him to death. Right? So I'm not in that man because he became the man and put him to death. But he brought me to himself. And see, that's what redemption is he bought you, purchased you, all those things that are said of redemption with the precious blood of Christ. Peter says, from your vain conversation or your empty way of life, he redeemed you from it, but to himself. And this is the part we don't know, many of us, is the to himself. Many of us don't even know we've been redeemed from this man. We're still trying to get this man right with God. Many Christians walk in a mindset that I've got to get him right. Well, God took care of his rightness because he crucified him. So he's never going, that old man's never going to get right with God. The answer to that is crucifixion.
Amen.
His death. So God answers his need. You know that? His need was redemption, and he was redeemed with a price, and the price cost the life of Jesus Christ. That's the price. It cost his life. Wasn't silver and gold like we read. You go in the Old Testament and see what Peter talks about silver and gold. Because silver was given for redemption. Okay? But Jesus paid the price with his own life. He poured out his blood, his life.
Amen.
And when he died, he answered that for you and I. I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him.
Amen. Amen.
That his life that I never knew would be made known by his spirit. Notice what I'm saying. His life, his spirit in my heart. Never knew his life. See, I knew all that stuff. That's all I knew. But now God has given us his spirit that we might know the things, period, these things, heaven, heavenly, spiritual, the things above, that are the things of God. That's what we know in salvation. That's what salvation is. This is eternal life that you might what? Know. Well, how do I know it if I don't have the ability to know it? Because he's given you his spirit.
Right.
So the supply is of his spirit. What does the spirit supply? All things of Christ. It's what he supplies. Where at? In your heart. Why? To know him. 1 Corinthians 2. That's where I'm sharing out of. So if I go there and read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 6, but we speak wisdom. I'll let you get there. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm reading out of the American Standard Version. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown. Yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of the world who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Even the wisdom that have been hidden, which God ordained before the worlds unto our glory. And you go back to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, before the worlds. That was ordained, that was in the purpose, that was in the thought, in the mind of God, before the world was. That light that Christ is was in the mind of God to fill our hearts. Which none of the rulers of this world had known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which I saw not, nor an ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now that can be a dangerous scripture because people run around and declare what the deep things of God are. Well, if they're not declaring a person, I would challenge if they're declaring the deep things of God. If they're not declaring the person of Christ, I challenge that. Because the deep things of God are the things of Christ, the mystery of Christ. That's where the depths and riches of God are, in the mystery of Christ. So if I'm declaring any depth of God, I'm declaring Christ. If I'm declaring any length of God, I'm declaring Christ. I'm understanding the mystery, the fullness of God in Christ. That's what I'm understanding. Not understanding things, I'm understanding Him. That's what the Spirit declares. It declares Jesus Christ to you. That's what Jesus told us. When the Spirit comes, He's going to take all things of me, that of me, that of mine, and He's going to show it to you.
Hallelujah.
Where's He show it to you at? In your heart. That you would know the things of Him. That's how your heart comes to know you're in right standing with God, as you see Jesus as your righteousness. That's why Christians don't know they're right with God. Because they still try to perform right standing with Him. I know that because I did it for years. I personally know that. I was frustrated for years. Even after I began to see the Lord, I still tried to perform it. Because there had to be something of me that could get this. I didn't hear what Paul was saying when he said he was preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. Nothing of me could even search it out. He had to reveal it by the Spirit.
Amen.
And so what we have is what God prepared for us. What did God prepare for us? Jesus says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Right. And a lot of teaching has been done on that. I go to prepare a place for you. Where did He go and what did He prepare? He went to the cross. So He went to the cross to prepare a place for you. And He said, at that day you will know the place. What did He say the place was? At that day you shall know I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. That's the place. And you'll know that. How will you know that? Because I give you my Spirit, and He shall freely teach you all things. The deep things of God. The mystery of God. What's the mystery of God? The mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of God is the person of God. Christ revealed. That's the mystery. That was hid from ages and generations. That's the thought, the mind, the purpose and will of God from the beginning. That in the heavens, that light that shined from the beginning. It was shining and this darkness couldn't comprehend it. Still can't. The darkness still can't understand the light when God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light separated itself from the darkness. And so darkness continued to live in the earth. You know that? Darkness came into man. Man lived in the earth in darkness, not in light.
Amen.
That's true. Never knew what light was. And the light come in Christ and says, I am
Amen.
The light.
Amen.
I'm the light that will change your heart. And if this light doesn't shine in our heart will not be changed. No effort can do it. So Paul's declaring a mystery that was hidden, but was made manifest in his heart by the Spirit of God. Yes. Made known in his heart by the Spirit of God. So turn with me one more place. You can read the rest of this in 1 Corinthians. when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples what? That's Matthew 16. Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they begin to say, who men said? John the Baptist, Elijah the prophet, they went on and on. You can even go back and read what the prophets say he is. You can read Isaiah and see what Isaiah says he is. You know, one of the favorite verses in the, or chapters in the church is Isaiah 53. You go back and read it. But then Jesus asked Peter a question here. Whom say you? Who do you say I am? That's the question. That's what God is saying in my heart. Whom do you say? Just like Paul, who are you, Lord? And Paul began to declare out of what God declared in him. Who do we say he is? How do we say he is? That's the better, maybe the better question. By what ability do we say that he is? Do we say out of our ability? Do we say out of what we've been taught? By men? Or do we say what the Spirit of God has declared in our hearts? Do we speak that out of the new covenant? Are we declaring with one another the truth that is in Christ? Is that what we say? See, Peter says he delivered us from our vain conversation. You know, the King James says. I know another translation says empty way of life. Some people may say, well, they both ain't right. Well, maybe they both are. Because in our empty way of life, we have vain conversations. Do we not? Sure we do. So those vain conversations have no substance in it. Right? Sure. There's no substance. What has substance is that of the Spirit of God, that of Christ. Is that the conversation we have with one another? Are we sharing with one another what He has been made unto us? Is that our conversation? Is that our mind? Is that how we greet one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there was a time everywhere I went saying the name of Jesus, right? Because I thought that's what that meant. But are we greeting one another in the understanding of Jesus Christ? Are we knowing one another in that understanding? Are we living in that understanding? See, that's not a vain conversation. That is the conversation of the Spirit of God. Because that's the conversation the Spirit of God is having with our heart.
Amen.
And what He has with our heart, He compares spiritual words with spiritual things. Just like Paul said, well, the spiritual thing is Christ.
Amen.
See, that's what the spiritual thing is all the things of Christ. And then Paul was declaring spiritual words out of him.
Hallelujah.
Was he not? Sure he was. And what does that do with your heart? Paul deals with this. And I won't go through it all because of time, but I'm going to mention this. It deals with your conscience. It deals with your heart. It deals with the awareness in you. And you know by the Spirit, do you not? Many times you know by the Spirit if that's of Christ or not. Amen. Why? Because it bears witness with your conscience.
Amen.
Whether it's of Him or not. Why? Because He's in you. That's why it bears witness with you, because he's in you. And it bears witness with me because he's in me.
Amen.
And we share that of him with one another, and we build up one another in the most holy faith, in what he is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That the substance of him would be dwelling in us. You know, he's dwelling in us, but the substance would be known. I'm talking about more than being in you. I'm talking about dwelling in you, in your walk.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is he dwelling in my walk?
Come on.
I walk in the earth, do I not?
Come on.
Is he dwelling in it? Sure he is. He's in me.
Amen.
So he's dwelling in me. But am I walking after him that's dwelling in me? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to give it a voice, what I'm trying to say. Walk before me, Abraham, and be thou perfect.
Help him, Lord. Amen. Help him.
Well, what does that mean?
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Be ye holy, for I am holy. What does that mean?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on.
What that means is I'm walking in this understanding of him.
Hallelujah.
I'm living in this understanding of him. My perfection is him.
Hallelujah.
See, when I find perfection, I find him. I don't find my ability to be perfect. I find him who is perfection living in me.
Well, glory. Hallelujah.
That's perfection.
Amen.
He is my perfection.
Amen.
Christians all over the earth are crying out for perfection. When they are made complete, Paul writes, perfected in him.
Amen.
But they don't know their perfection. Because on one side, they think their perfection is getting all this right. The other side, if I could do what Jesus did. I want to say to them sometime, I'll just tell you this story and I'm going to come to a close. I'm on an airplane one time. Recently, I'm on an airplane. And I'm thinking on the things of God. I'm reading something. And I'm thinking on the things of God. Thank you, brother. And comes to my mind, and I'm sure this has come to many folks' mind, I would like to hold on to all these things God says. You ever thought that, Brother Tom? I want to hold on to it. God revealed himself here. I want to hold on to it. I think we all have. The Lord spoke in my heart. He said, son, you're not me. I went, oh. I'm not God. See, I'm coming to know the things of God. But my ability to know them is as he presents them. And as we're built up in them by his work, by his spirit, by his love. But it's still not my ability to do it. And see, even at times I want to stretch forth my hand to what God has done, right? And take it into myself as my own. Now I'm his own. But it's his. He made that plain in my heart. Son, this is me. And I heard that. And then he went on to say, you're coming to know me. So he'll present things to us again and again. Because in the seeing of that of him, our hearts being changed. What I keep saying to you this morning, and now I know how much time I've been, so I'll take 5 more minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, he says a lot here. He says in verse 9, and then I'm going to jump on down. He says, but if the administration of condemnation be glory, Much more does the administration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, do you see the administration of righteousness as a person? Or as the teaching on this page? Okay. The administration of righteousness is the person. Or the administration of righteousness. And it exceeds in glory. Because it's the glory of Him that all the old spoke of who has filled our heart. So he goes on down here, but in verse 15 he says, "But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil's upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." You could say, liberty from what? From the veil. From the old man. From that natural understanding. Liberty into the things of God. So when the veil is taken away, what happens to the heart? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transformed, changed, metamorphosis into the same image. What image are you changed into? The image of Him. The image of the earthly. The image of death. The image of the old man. The image of the old covenant. You no longer understand your being here. You understand your being in Christ. That's what you will begin to understand. At that day you'll know I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Do you understand that? Do I understand that? See, that's through transformation of the heart by the Spirit of God. The heart not seeing here. Because as long as the heart sees here, it'll define itself by what it sees. You know that? You define yourself by what you see. That's why our heart has to see. That's why Paul said, "Set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." Christ, who is alive, when He appears, you appear where at? With Him. Same thing Jesus said in John, "At that day you'll know you appear with Him in glory." When the heart turns to the Lord, why? Because you're already there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're there through Him. He's already brought you into what He is. Amen. But your heart is blinded. What by? The veil of understanding of the natural mind.
Hallelujah.
But we with open face look at Jesus.
Amen. Glory.
And when we see Jesus, we see all things of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
And that's where we live. We live in Him. He's our life. To me, that is salvation. Christ is living in me. And the salvation gets bigger.
Amen.
As Jimmy says, it really doesn't get bigger. Because He's as great as He's going to get. My awareness of Him increases. Not His greatness. Because He's great. Anyway, I will stop right here. The Lord bless you. And thank you very much for this time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.